Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Commence the evening and bepint the sky. Lay hides upon benches and pour the wine. Long glinting blood-red lights cascade around me and project the fire on my eye. Bewilder me in the moon underwater. Hallowed night to thee, Robin.
Hello, John. How are thee?
Take your residence at your favourite bar stool and let me pour you a thought or two.
Oh, please do. Pour it out. Let it foam.
What will it be tonight for you?
I shall have a pint of moist air.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just air. I just fancy a pint of air.
A pint of moist air. Sort of like breath.
Well, no, like the breath of the wind.
The breath of the cask.
Yes, yes, that's all I'm in the mood for.
Okay, well, here's a pint of cask breath for you. It doesn't sound very nice.
No, it doesn't. I was more thinking, you know, like the kind of air you might get at the top of a mountain or off the sea, you know.
Oh, right. So it's sort of more natural air as opposed to a sort of fetid damp air.
No, I don't, you know, something more like a gust, but, you know.
Like when there's sort of dew in the air.
Yes, exactly, or sea spray.
Oh, that's not a bad shout. Okay, pint of sea spray it is for you.
But I don't want the salt to kind of make me sick.
No. Well, that's just something you'll have to speak to the manufacturer about.
Okay, thanks.
How has this week found you in pint and in pub?
Well, it's been very good. We had a very entertaining live moon underwater sesh last night, didn't we? Did you enjoy yourself?
So good. I'm still, I would say I'm bouncing, but inevitably, the alcohol you've imbibed does sort of, even though it added to the energy of the night, it also holds you to account. With sort of dry rumblings of shame, but there's nothing to be ashamed of. It was fantastic.
Yeah, well, the thing was, I mean, as we record this, we interviewed Ollie Smith, who you may know from talking about wine on Saturday Kitchen and various other programmes, and he's probably the happiest, nicest, most carefree man I think I've ever met.
Yeah,
and he was
quite extraordinary about him.
Yeah, and he was able to talk about drinking. And even the negative sides were kind of seemed to be sort of water, you know, water off a duck's back, really.
He sort of struck me of just the sort of person I just envy their DNA and their personality and their joie de vivre and just how kind and inclusive he was in conversation, even off stage before we entered the moon underwater.
Yes.
Yeah. Just incredibly ebullient. So look forward to you hearing Ollie Smith as he joins us.
And remember, we've still got two more live Moon Underwater pods coming up.
Two more. Tickets still available. Head to moonunderpod.com to actually come to the actual moon underwater in our minds.
Yeah, with moon underwater beer mats, I should stress.
Yes! The beer mats of the mind, the pub of the mind, the guests of the mind. We'd love to have you there because they're really quite sensational affairs. But Robin, did I detect a sighing breath as I was trying to deal with the carpet situation here at the moon underwater?
Oh, yes, yeah, I sighed for the mist. I sighed for the mist and the mist beside itself unto me. Yeah, we've had a couple of lovely mist mails in. This is a great one from Lucy. She wrote in a couple of weeks ago, actually, who says, "Hi, lovely John and lovely Robin. I wanted to drop you a note to say how much I'm enjoying the moon underwater. My first pub experience was around the age of 16, 17 on Teesside in a pub called the Normanby. It was like Adrian Childs said, it didn't matter what the pub was like, it just mattered that we got served, and served we did. I used to go with £10 from my EMA, RIP, I'm not sure what that is.
Must be some kind of like student allowance, maybe.
Oh, I see, yeah, yeah, your beer tokens. And pints were £1.65, which meant enough change for cheesy chips for the walk home. God, I remember when they were £1.35 for a pint of Tetley's in the college bar. We used to go every Sunday for the covers band that was on. A particular fave was the Beer Pigs, whose drummer was our college business studies teacher, who never said a word about us being underage. What a legend. It was through listening to your podcast that I've realised just how much of an effect pubs have had on me and my life. From the Ivy in Sunderland, where me and my uni pals would do the quiz alongside the Future Heads, great band, to the Salisbury in Winchmore Hill, where my now husband and I decided we want to move to North London back in 2013, to the Old King's Arms in Horsforth, Leeds, where we decided to lay down proper roots closer to our family. They seem to be the place we do all of our big decision-making. Your podcast with Adrian also reminded me of the pub quiz in the Town Street Tavern, also in Horsforth, where they don't have a PA, but the quiz host walks around every table asking the questions, and again at the end giving the answers. Brilliant. Thanks for the podcast, Lucy. I like that. That's slightly better than just shouting them out like a mad person.
Pubs as pivot points.
I think that's really nice what Lucy's getting at there, is that you can kind of... Pubs are kind of these, stations in your life.
Stations of the cross, stations of the pint.
Yeah, exactly. Where you kind of make these big decisions, or you associate them, your local, whichever part of your life, with a certain kind of phase of your life. That's very nice.
Yeah, and do keep misting to us at john@moonunderpod.com. And also, if you want to access the bonus podcast, which is called Behind the Cellar Door, where Robin and I really kick loose, head over to patreon.com/moonunderpod to support and subscribe there. Any more mists, Robin, or are we going to keep the mist hanging around for next week?
There is one other great mist mail we've had in with a subject in the mist, Oxford Day 4. Oh, yes, please. Dear John and Robin, on Saturday, I, Alex, and two fellow pintsmen, John and Sam, will embark on our fourth annual Oxford Day, a 10-pub crawl inspired by your good selves. Isn't that extraordinary? People are doing pub crawls based on something we did in 2015.
Well, that's the great thing about a crawl. Once you create it, it's there for anyone to enjoy, and it sort of doesn't exist anywhere but in the mind.
Myth faded into legend. Legend faded like Lord of the Rings. The day will take in many of your favourite Oxford watering holes, the Star, the Grapes, the Harcourt Arms, the Jericho Tavern, the Rickety Press, formerly the Radcliffe Arms, and the Old Bookbinders, yes, please. Also on our list this year are the Rusty Bicycle. Where's that?
Never heard of it, mate.
That must be a new one. I'll have to check that out. The Turf, I don't mind the Turf, and St. Aldate's Tavern, along with a new addition for 2021, the Bear Inn. I love the Bear.
You once went to the Bear after the last Oxford Day we did.
Yeah.
I left in the morning and you went to the Bear for a pint at like midday.
Well, I think I was meeting a friend for lunch and yeah, I didn't really have anything to do, so I thought I'd go to the Bear. But yeah, I did feel a bit lonesome. But that is the oldest pub in Oxford, I believe. It's really fantastic.
Is it now?
If you get there on a quiet day, because it's very small, so it can get quite busy. Alas, two of our personal favourites from past years, the Eagle and Child and the Lamb and Flag, have sadly fallen victim to the pandemic. But rest assured, they are forever in our hearts and pints. Is the Eagle and Child really closed? That's shocking news.
Now, what's happened to the Eagle and Child? Because I looked this up in my mind after I got a sense of what the mist might contain.
Yeah.
Is it was closed to be refurbished before lockdown, because they're turning it into hotel on the first and second floor.
Oh, okay.
However, Nicholson's, the pub chain that owned it, then I think sold it to Young's.
Okay.
And Young's are continuing with the refurb, but said it might not reopen until 2022.
Sugar.
They said one of the things they're looking at doing is sprucing up the seating downstairs. If
no.
they mess with those wooden booths, I will fuck them up.
You may as well get a first edition of Lord of the Rings and defecate on it.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do that. Don't. Sorry about that. But I mean, those booths are part of the fabric of the literary universe.
Those booths are part of the fabric of my mind's fabric.
They really are. They really
so
are.
If anyone from Young's is listening, you touch those booths, so help me, gee. You'll have me, Gandalf.
Gandalf the Grey and Gandalf the White.
And Gandalf the White to deal with. But I think, well, I don't know what the situation is with the Lemon Flag. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But anyway, Alex continues. Armed with brand new moleskin notebooks. I found out the other day you meant to pronounce moleskin. 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 Did you know that?
No. Sounds rubbish. That's stupid. Sorry, I'm still angry.
Yeah. We use the Robbins-Allender method to score each pub out of 5 on music, ale, atmos, nostalgia, and staff. Lovely. Other activities during the crawl include a series of games. Very good. You've got to keep the momentum up. Taken from John's Radio X show, where specialist quiz topics this year range from the band Keen, 2004 to 2006, very select, to the Pitcairn Islands. We also have in the crucial Penciled Slump food break. Absolutely mandatory between pubs 6 and 7. Thank you both for devising what is surely one of the great pub crawls, which has brought these three old friends endless joy. And keep up the great work on the pod. All the best, Alex. That's a lovely missed mail.
Oh, Godspeed that crawl. And Godspeed those pubs.
Mm.
Oh, return to me, Lamb and Flag. It has to. It just doesn't make sense for it not to.
I mean, it's like it's been around since the Middle Ages, probably. I mean, it's such an old building. They're not just going to turn it into halls of residence, are they? Oh, I can't remember. We've discussed this, haven't we?
Anyway, Rob, I've got to sort this carpet situation out because our guest is surely almost upon us. So you go and... What are you going to do?
I'm just going to hover above my bar stool.
You hover above your bar stool drinking your pint of sea spray and I'll sort out these blooming carpets. Well, Rob, I think that's loosened it, at the very least. I couldn't get the whole thing up, but that's what happens when your pub carpets itself overnight.
Oh, right. Gosh, I thought you were talking about your bowels.
No, not at all. Not this time. No, I thought for our guest it would be appropriate to have our beautiful exposed floorboards, but it's going to be a partially carpeted floor, but it's a very nice carpet, I have to say. The word plush, velour even, is that sort of getting to the edge of what it is?
Well, you know, it's a very unique pattern. You know, we all know that Wetherspoons have unique carpets, but no Wetherspoons carpet is actually in three dimensions. I mean, this is what's special about our carpet here, that it kind of, and four if you count time.
Yes, and so it's time, and what are the other three dimensions it's in?
Height,
time, height...
Width.
And smell, isn't it?
And smell. Oh, yeah, smell's the fourth one, sorry.
So time, height, width, and smell. And I think it's important to have a few of the floorboards exposed just so you don't get too disorientated. And rightly, and I'm glad I've actually cleared a path to the door because I think I can hear the distinctive bugle call of this week's guest, announcing his presence on the alleyway that this evening has chosen to host the Moon Underwater. Because, yes, here comes a familiar voice to millions from Radio 1, also a Welsh language music aficionado. So we give a very warm shumai and a bora da to the lovely Hugh Stevens. Hello, Hugh.
Hello, John. Hello, Rob. Thanks for the shumai and the bora da. I appreciate that.
Hello.
Come and make yourself comfortable here in the Moon Underwater. What does it make you feel to be here? What are your favourite sights and smells of the Moon Underwater?
Oh, it's nice. I've heard so much about it. Thanks to you guys, really, bringing the George Orwell article to my attention. My favourite thing in the pub right now this evening is Rob's Gorky's Iconic Monkey t-shirt.
Yes.
I am insanely jealous. Where did you get that retro Gorky's t-shirt from?
Well, it wasn't retro when I bought it. I bought it, I think they were touring the Amber Gambler EP in about 1996. And I bought it at the Fleece and Firkin. And the great thing about the 90s was you tended to buy extra large. That was the style. But now, obviously, as I...
Forward planning.
Exactly. Now I'm hitting my 40s. It's like, that is a good size for me, unfortunately. So, but yeah, this is an original Gorky's t-shirt.
Well, I've got the Amber Gambler EP at home. Obviously, I'm in the pub tonight, so I can't just bring it out. And I loved going to the Fleece and Firkin as a young man as well. It wasn't far from Cardiff. It was like 45 minutes on the train to Bristol, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant.
Well, Robin, how many, just to win you further brownie points with who, how many times have you seen Gorky's?
Well, good cue, and here's the A. Fiddlers in Bristol, Fleece twice, Beer Keller... Where they were supported by Broadcast, which was a fantastic gig. Also saw them at Carmarthen Eisteddfod.
Oh, wow. Did you?
Yeah, because my mum's from Carmarthen. And Glastonbury 97. And I saw them support Yola Tengo at St. David's Hall, which would have been one of the last tours, probably.
I was at that gig. Yeah, that was brilliant,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Because
the thing about Gorky's, they split up in the kind of early 2000s, didn't they? So... It wasn't that much of an opportunity. I mean, it depends on your age, I guess. But it wasn't that much of an opportunity to see them. But I am jealous, though, Rob, of all those gigs and of your T-shirt.
Thank you. Well, I think it's interesting that Gorky split up when they did. Sorry to really kind of take this down a Gorky's route. Because the sort of fashion for music changed towards like folky stuff in the kind of noughties. And the Gorky's were slightly before that. And they'd broken up by the time you had your Green Mans and things like that. And it's just a shame they kind of missed that, but yeah.
Right, stop talking about Welsh things and let's start talking about pubs and pints, and in fairness, some of those may be in Wales. Who, I want to talk about formative years on the Cardiff pub scene. My only real experience of pubs in Cardiff was a regular gig I used to do in 2005 at the Yellow Kangaroo. It was a very odd pub next to a BP garage. Were you into a pub scene in Cardiff in the 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah, I used to live above the Goat Major pub on High Street opposite Cardiff Castle.
That's the pub we went to before that Gorky's gig at St. David's Hall.
Ah, okay, there you go. You're back on Gorky's. Brilliant, I love it.
Yeah.
No, it's my favourite pub topic is Gorky's. It's perfect. And there's a big picture on the wall, well, there was anyway, of Rhys Ifans, the famous Welsh Hollywood actor, with the Goat Major from something from to do with the army. But it's changed his name back now to the Blue Bell. So that was a nice pub. And then I do sort of remember the Yellow Kangaroo, John. I never went in there. I think it was more of a student pub, wasn't it?
Well, you say that. It was sort of a pub, I think, that gets... changed a bit to be a student pub, which just ends up pissing off the same 10 regulars who they were trying to sort of improve on. So you then end up with a student pub that's got 10 angry men in it and a stand-up comedy night for no apparent reason.
Yeah, yeah. The comedy night just happened in the pub. Yeah.
And City Arms was a big pub, still is. Like, you know, for some reason back then they'd let you in underage, so... From the age of, you know, it went from drinking hooch in the park to just going into all the pubs in Cardiff city centre with a bit of fake ID every now and again. And just, you know, very blasé kind of staff back then. It's changed now, of course, but that was a good one. And I'll take your Yellow Kangaroo and raise you the Green Parrot, which was also near Cardiff Castle, near the stadium. Near the, what's it called now, the Principality Stadium, the Millennium Stadium as it was then. And, yeah, the Green Parrot again, lots of, pool table, lots of cigarettes and really cheap lager, which was what we wanted back then.
I did a gig a few times at a place called the Wig and Pen, which I think was that near the Union?
Yeah, Pen and Wig.
Pen and Wig, sorry.
Yeah, is it not? I think it's the Pen and Wig. It is the Union. That's a nice pub, and that's still there in Cardiff, yeah.
That's the first time I ever did an hour on stage, and I was not asked to do that.
Wow, right. Wow. I didn't know they did comedy in the Pen and Wig, Wig and Pen, to be honest.
Well, we're going back, oh, let's depress ourselves, 13 years? So, yeah, it was, I mean, I'm talking like very low level open mic kind of guy or girl brings mic and small speaker and erects in pub. These weren't sort of, these weren't big gigs. It was a long time till I did like the Glees or any of the sort of pro gigs in Cardiff, but certainly played a formative part in my early comedy career. But did its pubs play a formative part in your dream pub, Hugh? When you create your dream pub, what are you imagining when you walk in?
I'm imagining an open fire. I'm imagining good selection of crisps behind the bar. This is important, isn't it? Ideally in boxes, like cardboard boxes full of these crisps behind the bar. My wife's from Tregaron in West Wales, near Aberystwyth, and there's a famous pub called the Talbot, where apparently an elephant is buried in the back garden. And that's kind of my dream pub, I'll be honest. It's like, you know those scenes in Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, when they stop for a drink on those perilous journeys? It's the closest I've come to one of those, where there's a fire and there's like metal cups hanging from the ceiling and there's hearty food served and there's, you know, some farmers in there having a good old chat. It's that kind of vibe. That's my dream kind of pub.
We're about to create your perfect pub by fitting out the bar with various drink items. But you currently, you don't drink at the minute, do you, Hugh?
No, I'm 4 years off the boat, off the booze. Nothing bad happened. I was just bored of it. I was bored of boozing. And I used to drink, you know, every week at gigs. I go to gigs every week. And I just thought, hang on, I can do this. Or I can do everything I do, but without booze. And it turns out that I can. So, yeah, I miss booze because I really like booze. Just I don't drink it, if that makes sense. So for the purposes of your beautiful pub that we're about to create, I'm going to pretend that I do drink.
I remember reading an interview where you said you kind of just did Dry January and then just decided to carry on. Is that how it started then?
Yeah, basically. Well, what happened was I choked on some cauliflower, Rob, and I thought I was going to die. And so I did the Heimlich manoeuvre on myself. The cauliflower came out. This was New Year's Eve, 4 years ago.
You did it on yourself?
Yeah, yeah, I had to. Yeah, I was at a wedding and everyone was eating and I was like, oh, so I did that. Oh. Yeah. And the cauliflower flew out and I got a picture on my phone if you'd like to see it. And I did Dry Jan then. And then we carried on and then my first son was born. And I thought, well, this is a good reason to carry on, not drinking, and we're 4 years later now. So I mean, but as I said, I do like booze. I love the idea about booze. I love everything about it. I love pubs. I love the idea of going out on the raz. Just it wasn't for me at that point in time, you know.
Well, before we fill your pub of the mind with drinks of the mind, just for people who are listening who maybe are feeling a bit of that booze fatigue, where they're sort of maybe feeling like, oh, it's been like over the last few years or whatever, it's just sort of built up and built up. How I think what a lot of people have a problem with is sort of looking ahead and thinking, oh, I'll stop drinking. And then they go, ah, but what about this party? And what about that day? And what about this wedding I've got to go to? And you're talking about realizing that you can do all that stuff without alcohol. But how was it in those early few weeks when I guess it's sort of perhaps more difficult to resist that habit?
Yeah, they can be tricky, but you've got to try and stick to it. And, you know, my willpower isn't brilliant, but for some reason I managed to do it at weddings. And once you've done one, you can do another one. You can go to gigs without drinking. You can go to festivals without drinking. And also I was working at a lot of these things as well. So, you know, it was a good way of concentrating on the work and not getting hammered and all that. Yeah, it's just something that you've got to want to do it properly. You know, you've got to want to stop.
I tell you what, from the periods in my life when I've not drunk, really important things is to make the decision very early on in the night. So almost like you walk into the pub and before you even go and sit with your mates, you order a pint of lime and soda and you take a sip. And that first sort of not leaving that decision hanging in the air for 10, 15, 20 minutes, just sort of going and getting it, your taste buds and your body getting used to the fact you're having a soft drink. And then it's just so much easier than the rest of the evening. But also knowing that you can leave whenever you like because you can drive home.
Yeah, you can do that. You're not going to be wasted ordering a kebab. You're not going to say something that you'll regret in the morning, get paranoia for the next month about. You're not going to get excited about an idea that you're never going to work on. Because I used to do that a lot. I came up with some amazing ideas. We all do when you're in the pub and then you don't do anything about it. And I just thought, hang on, is there another way of doing this? Can you just have ideas sober and actually do them rather than think about it? But you're right. And also, the other thing is that, you know, the non-alcoholic boozes now, John, are lovely. And you can still have the taste of a drink without having the alcohol consumption.
Having said that, what are your two draft choices?
Guinness and brains. I'm back on the booze for this. So Guinness, ideally, it has to be from Dingle in Ireland.
I was going to say this. I was going to bring this up because you've covered Other Voices Festival a lot, haven't you? And Dingle is pub HQ. Tell us about it.
It is. There's pubs everywhere. You might have seen when Amy Winehouse came to Dingle. There's a documentary about it recently when she played the Other Voices Festival. And there's some lovely pubs everywhere. They've kept the old pubs and they burn the peat on the fires in the pub. And, you know, it's young, beautiful people who work there. And there's a pub called Foxy John's where if you go to Dingle, you'll see it. It's the hat. You go in, on one side it's a pub.
Oh, it's the bike shop, right?
Well, it's a pub on one side. It's a DIY shop on the other. So you can buy some nails or you can buy an iron. And then on the other side, you'll have a pint. And, you know, it's full of locals and it's full of beautiful Dingle people. But, it attracts a lot of tourists like me as well. And the Guinness there is pretty spectacular, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And when I say there, I mean Ireland. Not just Dingle.
Yeah. But I remember when I was in Dingle, the kind of thing of you walk down the street and the high street is, and you think, you know, you walk past what you think is a house, there's a little light on in there, candlelight, and you think, actually, that's a pub. And you kind of go in, and, you know, it's such an amazing exploration. And Dick Max, the one opposite the church as well, is a fantastic pub.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of lovely ones there. Yeah. Dick Max. Yeah. And it's that thing, isn't it? I think we in the UK are terrible at taking old pubs and chains, go in, renovate them, make them how they think pubs look like. And you do lose something. You lose those spit and sawdust pubs. And Ireland have managed to keep them and turn them into, a cultural treasure, I think, which attracts people. And, you know, you think of those pubs when you think of Ireland now.
I think that's such a good point. But I think part of the problem is those sorts of pubs in the UK, because there's so much competition for people's time outside of their house now. What happens is you walk into sort of an English version of that pub and you think, oh, this is great. This is what a pub should be. But there's only actually five people in there and a pub can't survive like that. Whereas you're absolutely right that those Irish pubs have managed to make them actual sort of centres, their appointment visiting for not just locals, but for tourists. Like, I will go to Dingle one day just to go to these pubs you're talking about. But it's not enough just to have sort of a pint of Doom Bar in a local and go, oh, that's a great British pub, and then never sort of go back there, because it's just not sustainable as a business.
No, of course. And I guess that's why so many of the pubs have closed down, isn't it? Because of the business side of it. But yeah, I'd love to know, like you say, how those Irish pubs have managed to remain on, you know, because, you know, they're not packed, they're not doing 2-for-1 offers, and it's not buy one, get one free. I mean, it's a business.
Well, there's 6 pubs on my road. I guarantee it's what, a Tuesday night, I guarantee one of them is empty, one of them's got 4 people in, one's got 6, another one's got 6, another one's probably got no one there. Whereas, were I living on that road in Dingle now, I bet if I went into each pub on a Tuesday, there would at least be enough to sustain them until the sort of busier weekends. So, you know, I don't know what my point is. It's just sad. I'm just sad, but I'm going to Dingle. Tell me about Brains, because Cardiff is synonymous with Brains beer.
That's right, yeah. It's Brains you want. There's a massive tower behind the train station in Cardiff, which has got Brains written on it. And it's being, I think Brains has been bought out recently by a bigger boozy company. But they've kept the tower, and I think they're going to build stuff around it. I think of super furry animals and a lot of press photos that they had in the 90s.
Yeah, that with the was it with the slogan behind them? And I think I remember having no idea it was a beer and just thinking it was something so weird, just standing in front of a sign that said it's brain tumor.
Yeah, it was in the sleeve of Fuzzy Logic, if I remember correctly. So about 96, their debut album. And yeah, it's lovely. It's a bitter.
Is there one called Brains SA, or is it called...
Yeah, and some people say the SA stands for Skull Attack. I actually don't know what it stands for, the SA. I'm sure one of your listeners will know. SA, but does that mean anything to you?
I'll just look it up in my mind. It stands for Samuel Arthur, who is Samuel Arthur Brain founded it. So it's SA Brain and Company. I don't think the brewery has been sold. I think it's the pubs have been. I think because I looked it up in my mind, but the pubs it owns have been handed over to Marston's on a 25-year leaseback deal.
Wow, amazing what you can remember, isn't it? From the
it is really when you just when you think about it hard enough, you can remember those little facts you pick up from the local press.
Yeah, and they're good, you know, they're good. They're good chain of pubs, Brains. They're solid, and their bitter's really nice. And if I drank, I would drink a lot of Brains.
Hi, John. David Cameron here. Really enjoying Moon Underwater. Absolutely brilliant. I know you're manically busy, doing a great job, by the way. It's bloody hard. I think the team's coping extremely well. But do you have a moment for a word? I'd love to come on the Moon Underwater. I'm on this number and V-free. All good wishes, DC.
Okay, great. So that's Brains and Guinness on draft. We will head straight over to the bottle and can section. What are you choosing there?
Well, I am going to choose a bottle of Heineken Zero because I think it's the nicest of all the mainstream, well-known non-alcoholic drinks. For my personal tongue.
Do you know, I agree with you 100%.
Well, I actually think it tastes nicer than Heineken. And yeah, they used to do it on tap in... The White Rabbit in Bristol. It's not called that anymore. Where I used to do stand-up. And it was brilliant before a gig to actually have a pint of Heineken Zero. Because, you know, it feels like you are drinking a pint. I think that's one of the problems with non-alcoholic beers sometimes is you actually do want a pint of the stuff rather than a bottle, you know? So it's great when pubs actually do pints of NABs.
It is nice. They do pints of Lucky Saint in a lot of pubs now as well, don't they? Another nice non-alcoholic one. And I'm also choosing cans or bottles of Tiny Rebel. Tiny Rebel is a Newport-based brewery and it's delicious. They've got a lot of funky flavours and, yeah, really nice. So I'm hoping the pub can stock and come to an agreement with Tiny Rebel, please.
A can of Tiny Rebel what, though, Hugh?
Ah, well, hang on.
They do a good one called Kutch, don't they? Is that Tiny Rebel?
Yeah, the Kutch is nice, yeah.
Their non-alcoholic stuff's very good as well, Hugh.
Yeah, I've had a few of those. The Club Tropicana is nice, but club spelled club, like club I've...
As in Clubby for Bach.
Exactly, like Clubby for Bach. What else is there?
Is the Stay Puffed one?
Stay Puffed is nice.
Which is their marshmallow one.
Yeah, that's quite sweet, as you'd imagine. There's the Cali Pale, which is nice, like a little pale ale.
I'm going to have to force you to make a decision here.
All right, I'm going to go for the Club Tropica, I think, which is a 5.5% tropical IPA.
Oh, it's lovely. It's Club Tropicana, spelt C-L-W-B, Tropicana.
Oh, actually, it's Tropica. My fault. It's Club Tropica.
It's Club Tropicana.
No, just Tropica.
I'm just looking it up on my mind. In my mind again.
I'm looking up in my mind as well. It's Tropica. It's Tropica.
I don't think it is. Which bit of your mind are you looking it up on?
I'm looking at http.com. No, what am I looking at? Yeah, I'm sure it's just Club Tropica, you know, John.
It's. I absolutely guarantee it's not.
I think it's Tropica. What does Tropica mean, Hugh, is the question here.
Yeah. Ask yourself two questions, how and why.
Yeah, well, it's your pub, you can call it what you want. I'm not going to argue with the landlords. I don't want to get bad this early on.
Hang on. Just one second.
Oh, my God, it is Tropica.
I think they've rebranded it.
Thank you very much.
They've rebadged it, you fool.
I can see. Hang on, wait. For sale here. Tiny Rebel Club Tropica Tropical. Tropica Tropical.
Now, what's happened is, I think they might have rebadged it, but when I'm looking it up in the actual source, I'm looking it up at the source of the information in my mind, they are spelling it both ways. But I must apologise to who, because on the cans, currently, as it stands, it's Club Tropica.
It's no worries. Let's just have a drink and forget about it.
Yeah. So it's a 5.5% tropical pale ale. And I think already you've got such a nice selection. You've managed to succeed where many others have, well, not failed, because you can't fail in your own imagination. But you've got a stout, you've got an ale, you've got a non-alcoholic beer, and you've got a pale ale. I'm loving this pub, Hugh.
Great. Well, for a non-drinker, I'm doing all right, aren't I?
You're doing very well, but I'm almost loath to leave this pub in your mind, but we have to head over for the Moon Underwater pub quiz. Robin.
Okay, everybody, pens out, eyes down. It's time for the quiz. Played for Zimbabwe, but he was born in South Africa. I know Alaska is bigger. That wasn't the question. Put your phone away. Right, Michael Jackson's Funky Monkey have been deducted 5 points.
Thank you, John. Yes, welcome to this week's pub quiz in the Moon Underwater. Hugh, are you a fan of the old pub quiz?
Yeah, I like them, yeah.
I've realised that some of them have been quite hard. I think this one is a little bit easier, and I think, Hugh, you might do quite well in this week's quiz. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through three questions. You can have a little think.
And they're all about Gorky's EPs.
Yeah. And we can... then we'll go to a little break, and then I'll go through the answers, and we can see how we did. But this week, it's about Glastonbury headliners. Okay, so how do you think you'll do off the bat, out the door?
I think I'll do well on this one.
I think you might smash this. Did you miss Glastonbury this year and last year?
Oh, very much so, yeah. Mm, absolutely. Mm. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it, Glastonbury?
What's the booze situation at Glastonbury? I've never been to Glastonbury. Oh, actually, I've been to Glastonbury the town many times, but I've not been to the festival because that's actually technically in Pilton.
I used to play in a band called Gravenhurst, and when we played Glastonbury, we played the park stage because Adele had pulled out in 2007. It's going back a bit. But the backstage bit there, even it was a very muddy year and it was still pretty horrendous, but it was very nice to have a quieter bar section. It was really good. So, I mean, you know, but you know, you can find all sorts. One of my favourite Glastonbury memories was I was waiting in a tent for a van to pick up some gear and some equipment. I'm not talking about, you know, illegal products. And it was just this little tent that served cans of beer. And I was just having a drink while they were playing music. And that was one of the best memories of Glastonbury. Just drinking cans of Red Stripe in someone's tent. But how about you, Hugh? What's your fave mems looking back?
That sounds lovely, doesn't it? And that's the nice thing about festivals, is it is that friend you bump into or that little weird drink you have in that little weird tent. Sometimes it's better than watching a headliner, isn't it? That's why when headliners are announced for festivals and like they're always trending with people going, oh, I can't believe so-and-so's on again or whatever. It's just one tiny part. I know it's a very expensive part of a festival, but you can't judge a festival on its headliner, I don't think. I think it's about all the other act and all the other experiences.
I think you can say that if the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing, they've run out of ideas.
Well, they're a very popular band who a lot of people want to see, but...
Yeah, but it's... I saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Reading in 2001, and I was chatting to a woman working at a bar about 2 years ago, and she was talking about a festival, and I was like, who's on? She goes, oh, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I was like, I just thought, come on.
Yeah.
Be better. I mean, they're fine. They're fine. They're good. They're good to fine. But should they still be headlining like 20 odd years later? Surely there are better bands that young people like these days. Anyway, Robin, give us a quiz about Glastow.
Sure. Okay, question one. Pulp played an era-defining set at Glastonbury in 1995, but they weren't originally meant to be the headliners. Which band had pulled out due to injury? That's question one. Okay. Which band pulled out so that Pulp could play headline in 1995? Question two. Which act walked on stage in 2008 and sang a verse of Wonderwall as a riposte to Noel Gallagher, who had suggested that headliners should be just rock and roll bands? It's not an exact quote, but he said something to that effect. So who walked on stage in 2008 and sang a bit of Wonderwall? Question three. Who headlined the very first Glastonbury Festival in 1970?
Oh.
So those are your three questions.
Fuck. I was looking at the poster for it the other day. I've gone and left it in his hand.
So those are the questions. Have a think upon it.
Thank you, Robin. We will return to get the answers to the pub quiz after a very short riposte break. Replenishment, where you may hear an advert, you may just hear some ambient music because it really is out of our hands.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back, everyone. And I'm a little bit annoyed at how much tension is in the tenterhook wires today, because it's just asking a little bit much for people to be on tenterhooks where it's really tugging at the skin, I think, because a tenterhook should be an emotional, not a physical feeling. You should never feel that your actual body is under threat from a tenterhook. So, Robin, please, before it's too late.
Release you.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. So the answers to the quiz then. So how did we do? Question one, Pulp played an era-defining set at Glastonbury 95, but which band had pulled out due to injury? John, do you have any idea, first of all?
Well, I had an initial idea and then I panicked and put another idea. So can I give two answers?
Well, no.
Is it Kylie?
Hold that thought. Hugh?
It was Stone Roses, wasn't it?
It was the Stone Roses. It was the Stone Roses. John Squire broke a collarbone. John, I think you're thinking Kylie pulled out 1 year. I think it was 2005. I can't remember who headlined in her place.
Yeah, I think it might have been... There's been a few of these where U2 pulled out and Gorillaz stepped in.
Yes.
Something like Basement Jaxx played, maybe?
Yes.
Instead of Kylie? Something like that. So it was really sweet then when Kylie came back to play the legend slot, wasn't it? Then?
Yeah, on the Sunday.
Because
yeah.
it meant... Because she pulled out because she had breast cancer, I believe. So it was really poignant when she came back to play that amazing legend slot, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
Did Stone Roses ever come back after they're pulling out? Rob, did Stone Roses make it back?
They must have played... Did they must have done it on the reunion circuit a few years ago. Maybe they didn't, actually. I don't think they did.
I don't know. That would have been a big...
I saw Stone Roses at Wembley, and I have to say, there was not a person in the crowd who wasn't singing better than Ian Brown. It was absolutely—I mean, it was an amazing thing to see. It was an amazing thing to hear, but it was an appalling, appalling display of singing. It was like someone had got up at a karaoke, hammered, tone deaf. And thought, I'm going to do the Stone Roses entire back catalogue. Remarkable.
Wow.
And I like the Stone Roses. It was just absolutely baffling.
But there were a hell of a lot of Adidas going on in the crowd there.
Oh, mate, it was Addy Central.
Question two. Which act walked on stage in 2008 and sang a verse of Wonderwall, John?
Hugh, go first this time.
I'm saying the brilliant Jay-Z.
Yes. Actually, sorry, John. Do you want to go? Even though I said the right answer.
I didn't know. I was embarrassed.
You didn't know. There's Jay-Z. Yeah, were you there, Hugh?
I was there, and it was absolutely thrilling watching Jay-Z headline. Basically, Noel said a rapper shouldn't headline. A bit like John Robbins saying Red Hot Chili Peppers shouldn't headline Reading in 2001.
John Robbins saying Red Hot Chili Peppers shouldn't headline again.
Right, okay.
They shouldn't still be headlining in 2020. Which it's a bit like, you know, I'm a big fan of Ronnie O'Sullivan, but he makes the point, where's the next generation?
Okay, but it's the equivalent of the Chili Peppers walking on stage to one, like a recording of John Robbins' comedy gig, isn't it? Essentially, as a, we're headlining again. And that's basically what Jay-Z did whilst playing. I think he had a guitar strapped onto him.
Yeah, he did. And that was great.
You can't wear 3/4 length shorts in your 50s.
Who's that, Jay-Z or Chili Peppers?
That's Chili Peppers.
I watched the Woodstock film the other day, and Red Hot Chili Peppers headlined that in 99, and Flea did it in the nude.
Oh, of course. Yeah, was that the one with the sock on the willy?
No sock. Sockless, sans sock, yeah.
Just nude.
Well, just nude, okay. Yep. So question three was, who headlined the very first Glastonbury Festival in 1970? Any ideas, John?
Is it the Wurzels?
Good shout, Hugh.
Was it T-Rex?
It was T-Rex. That was brilliant. Well done. That was a hard one, because I thought it was David Bowie for some reason, but it is T-Rex. It was going to be the Kinks, but the Kinks pulled out.
They did. The Kinks did pull out.
Yeah, so it was T-Rex. Yeah, which would have been good.
The Wurzels played, I think.
I wanted the headliner, John. But, you know.
But it's not about the headliner, the Rob. We've established this already. It's not about the headliner.
No, we've established. It's about sitting in a tent and drinking a can of Red Stripe, which I could do in my garden.
I bet the first ever Glastonbury Festival was absolutely awful.
Yeah.
But it was horrible. Oh, that's enough chat about festivals. This is turning into the music underwater. So, Hugh, how are you, as a current non-drinker, approaching your spirit choice for your dream pub?
I'd like a honey Jack Daniels, please, because I think it's absolutely delicious. What do you have it with? I haven't had it for so long, I've forgotten. What would you have that with?
I would have that with a bin. I'd have that in the bin.
Oh, really? Are you not interested?
I hate Jack Daniels, but I'm guessing honey Jack Daniels is a bit more like sort of Southern Comfort, is it? So I'd probably have that with Coke or straight, I think.
Yeah, I think it was do you have it with lemonade? Does that make sense?
You could do, yeah. You can have Southern Comfort lemonade. It's very nice.
Right, yeah. I think it's like drinking honey, isn't it? Like maith, like in Welsh, you'd have maith back in the medieval days. So maybe it comes from that. So I'll have some of that, please.
Do you know what I think my problem is with things like Jack Daniel's honey? Is if I'm drinking something which I know is just sugar and sort of chemicals, I want the brand to know that as well. What I think is really funny is when, like Jack Daniels, where all their advertising is about tradition and how we've been working these fine oak-aged barrels since Jack Daniel's was just a wee nipper in 1868. And then, like, they suddenly release a honey liqueur. And it's like, well, this came out in, what, 1998? But you can't say that that's part of the same sort of inheritance of history, because it's just a branding decision.
I get that. Things change. Yeah, I feel bad now. Can I change it then? Can I change it?
No. No, you must have it. And I would drink it in your pub. I just think it's funny when companies that use sort of tradition and heritage in their marketing release a brand new product and sort of try and include it in that broader, we've been making honey liqueur since 1912, and there ain't a bar. And you think, no, you haven't. It's made in a vat. Anyway, no, you must have your choices, and I'm very rude to be being.
No,
rude.
No, it's fair enough. I mean, you know, Penderyn whiskey is lovely as well. There's a lot of lovely whiskies out there, isn't there? But I think I just like the fact that it was full of sugar, and it you know, it gave you that little buzz. So I'd go for that. I'd go for a nice crisp gin. Any brand will do, to be honest. little gin and tonic in one of those nice round glasses with a few cubes of ice in there. Sounds delicious.
What a sphere.
Yeah, yes, please.
I'm going to have to just push you for a brand. Doesn't matter if you're just picking it out of thin air.
Oh, hang on.
Just look it up in your mind.
I will. I'd like something from the Dyfi Distillery,
ooh,
please, in Wales. DYFI. Oh, it's delicious.
DYFI. I'm gonna look that up in my mind. Oh, it's in Machynlleth.
Oh, there you go, where the comedy festival is.
Oh, yes, that looks crisp. Oh, my God, that looks crisp. And they've also got something called a pollination gin. So that's almost like a honey gin, but it's, what's going on there?
When I look up in my mind, it says all, and then videos. Would you really want to see videos of gin? I suppose you would.
Yes, please. Rack 'em up.
Oh, that's
autoplay.
That is a lovely. Oh yeah, that's a lovely drop. That looks stunning.
So is that Dyfi? Is that pronounced Dyfi?
Dyfi.
Oh, and that's a lovely round glass. It is spherical. Bit of lemon, bit of lime.
And what a lovely mix there. A very local Machynlleth Dyfi Distillery pollination gin, where they use botanicals pollinated by local honeybees, and then Jack Daniel's honey liqueur.
All to do with the bees. I'm obviously on a bee tip right now. There's talking of Machynlleth. I bought an album the other day by Machynlleth Sound. No, hang on, by Francon. But it's an album. It's a concept album. He discovered that Machynlleth in Mid Wales is twinned with Belleville in Detroit, which is the home of techno, the birthplace of techno. So he's made an amazing techno album inspired by Machynlleth and Belleville.
Oh, nice.
It's really good. That's a little. I'd like that on in the jukebox in a bit, please.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's now time to ask Robin to take out his bookmark, uncover his first editions, and tell us what's in the Moon Underwater Pub Library this week.
Thanks, John. So this week in the Pub Library, I'm very aware that I kind of do tend to bring the mood down sometimes with the Pub Library. And
pubs are a place of dark and light, light and shade.
Yes, indeed. And this is absolutely no exception, so it is a lot of shade. But what I'm choosing is Jeff Dyer. Jeff Dyer is a brilliant writer. He's written a few novels, and he's written quite a few books which sort of are between fiction and non-fiction. They're quite journalistic and essay-like. And he's a brilliant writer. He's one of my favourite writers. And this is a book he wrote in the 90s called Paris Trance. And it was basically an attempt to kind of write about Paris in the way Hemingway and Fitzgerald would have done in the 20s, but to kind of update it in the 90s. And because it's in the 90s, in some ways it maybe has dated a little bit, because it's sometimes it reminds me of, you know, when Adam Buxton made that, Speeding on the Needle Bliss film on Adam and Joe. Do you remember that?
I think I've read Paris Trance, haven't I? I think you bought it for me. And wasn't that some... I think I liked it, but I did have a similar sort of slight problem with it.
Yeah, but it's about 20-somethings being young in Paris. Yeah, there's lots of rude stuff. But I think he writes brilliantly about memory. And basically what Paris Trance is about this group of friends who have this incredible summer together, this incredible experience. And the main character, Luke, sort of never really recovers from it. So I'm going to read you a bit now, and it's quite dark, but are you ready for it, Hugh?
I'm more than ready, yeah, I'm excited.
Cool. So this is many years after the kind of golden years in Paris.
Obviously, things could have turned out differently for Luke, could have worked out better. But by letting things occur as they did, he believed he was penetrating more deeply into himself, getting closer to his core. Luke fell short of what he was capable of. He could have been many things, could have achieved more than he did. To all outward appearances, he failed. He failed to keep the woman he loved, to pursue a career, to raise a family, to be happy. All of the things he associated with happiness came to be lodged absolutely in his past. But there was a sense, I think, in which he did fulfill his destiny. There are people who are destined to have lives like this, and in some way, his falling short was a kind of triumph. He was being faithful to some part of himself, to his destiny. There are all sorts of propensities in people. We tend to look only at the positive side, their potential for success, for happiness. But there are other kinds of negative potential, the potential for wasting the talents we are given, for blighting our prospects of happiness. So, as he sits there, staring at the TV that has been on all day, waiting for time to pass, as he looks at the bed where he has slept every night, or at the crumbs of bread scattered over the kitchen table, as he postpones for a little while longer the first drink of the day, or decides that he has waited long enough and opens the first bottle, perhaps he feels that at some level he has achieved his destiny, that he has been true to some part of himself, has touched some possibility which had been latent in him from his earliest beginnings. Perhaps he feels at home in himself. I can imagine him sitting there, his mouth numbed by beer, knowing that he has ruined his whole life, that nothing will remain of him when he dies, no book, no children, and wanting nothing to be any different, accepting it. I can even imagine him almost happy.
It's not really about pubs, is it?
No. It was a beer mention there at the end, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's an extraordinary... I remember that passage from reading it and it absolutely blew me away. It's basically saying happiness isn't everything.
But I think why I chose it was because a lot of what we talk about is nostalgia. And I think what he writes about beautifully there is the way people look back at their youth as being some kind of perfection. And they kind of wait for it to kind of come around again, or they kind of idealize how things were. And I think, and it's about that kind of stagnation that happens as you get older.
But I think also we are obsessed with the idea of reaching some kind of complete state of happiness and fulfillment, as if that's a goal you can attain by reading this article or doing this diet or getting this app. Whereas actually, some of the most profound experiences of my life have been incredibly sad, or when I've been ill, or when I've been like left out, or when I've felt homesick. And that doesn't necessarily mean that those experiences are to sort of be erased from existence. They all play a part in a life that could be successful. And it shouldn't just be your goal to have some dream of perfection, because, well, that's not really very interesting.
And not healthy either, can I add? Is it? It's not interesting or healthy.
Yes, who?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what that book sums up. And we do try and talk about, you know, alcohol in all its positives and very many negatives. But what he's talking about there is the kind of, he's using alcohol to kind of obliterate himself. And it's part of that terrible nostalgic yearning he has, you know. But I made it a bit serious again, haven't I?
That's fine, because literature tends to be serious.
It does tend to be serious.
Or at least have a serious side. But we don't just have a library of light and shade here, Hugh. We also have a jukebox. And what we need you to do is to pick an album to go on the Moon Underwater jukebox that you would like to hear when you walk into a pub at whatever volume you see fit. And I'm sure this wasn't an easy choice, but what have you gone for?
I'd like to hear Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys in its entirety, please.
Stunning.
Oh, yeah.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Big fan of that here, but Robin's a bit more of a BBEP, Beach Boys expert. Robin, what are your thoughts and feelings?
Well, I mean, just one of the greatest albums ever made. And, you know, the version I always had on CD was the version that had all those beautiful outtakes at the end, you know, with the little solo vocal bits and things like that. And for me, that's almost as much part of the album, that little behind-the-scenes bit at the end. And I love all those little bits.
Absolutely. But I don't remember going into a pub and hearing an album from start, you know, being played. It's always a jukebox, isn't it? And bits and bobs. But you go into some pubs I went to a few in the Netherlands where they've got like a wad of vinyl behind the bar and a turntable. It's like, wow. It's like the coolest pub ever. And I think they do that in Japan as well. I've never been, but where, you know, you got, there's certain bars where you get to pick out a record. They probably do it in like private members bars, I should imagine. But I think more pubs should do it, where you just get a load of CDs in the back. Because, I mean, everyone's chucking out their CDs. Just take them to the pub instead.
Yeah, yeah.
Great idea. Donate your CDs to a pub with a CD player, obviously. Have a nice selection. What, I mean, there's nothing to argue with Beach Boys' Pet Sounds. Just a superb addition to the Moon Underwater jukebox, sitting alongside such other great artists as Queen and Meatloaf.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, lovely. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with those.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me,
Hugh, we've had your draft and your bottles. We've got Guinness, we've got Brains, Heineken 0.0%, Tiny Rebel Club Tropica, 5.5%. We've got Honey Jack Daniel's Liqueur and Dovey Distillery Gin in this pub with an open fire that's a bit like the Talbot near Aberystwyth, with pewter tankards strewn hither and thither hanging from ceiling and beam, and with many a nook not dissimilar to the sort of pub you might stumble uponst in Middle Earth as you make your way to Bree or to Longbottom or any of those other places. But what's your final wild card choice, please, Hugh?
It's got a built-on soft play area outside for the kids.
It's a drink. You can have a built-on soft play area outside for the kids.
You can have that. Oh, I get one more drink. I see.
Yeah, but if you want a built-on soft play area for the kids, that's going in.
Okay, yeah. I wouldn't mind a soft play area.
I'd love to have a go in a soft play
area.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
It'd be fun. They probably do them for adults now, don't they?
Yeah, probably.
They must.
Don't go to those. Yeah.
Okay,
let me have a think about this now. Another drink. Bailey's milk.
Just listing all the drinks, you know.
Listing drinks.
What do I like? There's more Welsh. I'll tell you what. I've got one, John. I've got one. I'm ready to answer the question now. Sorry.
Hit me full in the face.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to go to the Green Man Festival, and every year they have 250, something like that, Welsh breweries, and they bring their cask ales, and I'd like to go in there and pick one at random. That's what I'd like to do as my wild card drink, please.
Oh, so your wild card is a randomly shifting Welsh brewed ale.
I love that vibe. Standing in the courtyard on the Thursday night of Green Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all the bar staff are saying, tip, tip, you know, when they get a tip. And yeah. They all get excited.
Yeah.
And you're getting, in a plastic glass, you're getting a lovely ale from a Welsh brewery.
Yes, Yes, please.
They have a similar thing at the Machynlleth Comedy Festival, and I know Henry, who runs it, and I think also books the comedy for Green Man and is involved with Green Man. Every year they run out. Every year I tease him. Every year he is this far from having a breakdown about the stress of running the festival. And the last thing he needs is me coming up to him and going, I told you should have ordered more beer. I told you that last year. It's run out, Henry, and it's only Saturday afternoon. God bless Henry Widdicombe and all he does.
You're barred.
Okay, so we now get Hugh to make sure that one thing does not happen in your dream pub. So what are you barring? What kind of activity or item or behaviour or thing or dog are you barring?
I'm going to ban laptops.
Oh, great choice.
I don't want anybody working in my pub. I don't want anybody... You can have a book, you can have a phone, you can have you can have a small phone, but I don't want a full-on laptop. I don't want you asking if you can charge the laptop. I don't want to see the glare of the screen in your glasses or on your eyes whilst you're working away. You can do that. You can rent a desk somewhere, or you can stay at home and do that. You can read a paper. You can read a paper, you can have a chat, you can do what you want in the pub, apart from bring out your laptop.
Couldn't agree with you more. Could not agree with you more. It is not a hot desk area. It's not an office of Goldman Sachs. It is not an administrative centre. The only person who's allowed a laptop is the landlady or landlord, and they are only allowed to use it for stock takes or for changing the music. End of.
The only exception I'd make is if it's like an arts centre or a cafe bar, in which case, fair enough. But if it's a pub, which it is, no.
Oh, yeah. We're not banning laptops everywhere. We're not banning them from the public. We're banning them from your pub. And I think rightly so. Robin.
What about the scenario where you say, I'm sorry, there's no laptops in this pub, and someone looks up and says, I'm actually writing my novel.
Oh, no, that's even worse.
Oh, sod off. Sod off.
Stay at home.
Write it in your mind.
Hurry up, please. It's time.
We've got to give this pub a name, Hugh. We are so looking forward to giving you this pub to take with you wherever and thence ye shall walk. But what are you going to call it?
I've got some options, actually. I always get excited when I see a pub called the Green Man because I think, oh, the festival's opened a pub, but it's never that. So some options include the Prince of Ales.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's loads of Prince of Waleses, but I'm not sure if there's any Prince of Aleses. The George, oh well, I thought it would be quite a good name for a pub. Like, I don't know, in like a hipster area of town, I'm just popping down the George, oh well. Then what else you got? The Rub-A-Dub Pub, which only plays dub music on the jukebox, I thought it would be nice. And then I like the idea of having a really long name because it doesn't matter how stupid you name your pub. People are going to just call it that because that's the name of the pub. So where are you meeting? Oh, I'm meeting him down at the Careless Talk Cost Lives. Also the name of a brilliant old music magazine. I'm meeting him at the Fountain of All Knowledge. Oh, lovely. I think the Fountain of All Knowledge is a good name for a pub. And the other one I've got is Life's Too Short, Let's Get Hammered and You're Bad, Stop Trying So Hard. I think that's a good one as well. I'm off for a pint down the You're Bad, Stop Trying So Hard pub.
So are you going to call it all of those names in one big long line sort of massive bit of graffito on the front of the pub, or are you going to be able to narrow it down to just one?
I'm going to call it the Fountain of All Knowledge.
Oh, lovely. Okay, the Fountain of All Knowledge. Hugh Stevens, Dream Pub, and we thank you so much for your time coming here and coming across the realms as well to the further realm. It's not easy. So we wish you safe travels on your return to the other realm, the further realm, the correct realm. But in order to play you out as you go on your merry way, what song from Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys would you like to accompany you?
How about Wouldn't It Be Nice?
Lovely. So as we bid Hugh Stevens well and thanks for coming here to the Moon Underwater, Hugh, when's your next Welsh language music engagement?
Well, I do a show on Radio Cymru every Thursday night from 6:30 till 9. So that's always good. You know, always slip in a bit of Gorky's Psychotic Monkey. Well, I will this week, especially for Robin, yeah. That's for sure. So, yeah, that's where you can find me.
What's your favourite Gorky song, Rob? We'll get Hugh to do a request.
Really? Wow. Oh, my God. Okay. It's a B-side. It's called Tears in Disguise, and it was the B-side to Diamond Dew. And it's just a beautiful country song. You know, incredible. It's not on any streaming services, but it's like one of the best songs ever written. Anyway, there we go.
Well, there you go. To play Hugh Stevens out, Wouldn't It Be Nice by the Beach Boys. Bye-bye, Hugh.
Bye. Thanks for having me, Rob and John. See you soon.
Wouldn't it be nice?
And there he wendeth, and how he wendeth, and what a treat that he wendeth his way into the Moon Underwater and into our hearts, minds and lives and ears and brains and thoughts and feelings. And you sort of see him dusting off a lot of the residue from finding his way into those various corners of our life. So thanks to Hugh Stevens there. And next week, joining us will be Clint Boone, leader of the Boone Army. And that, I have to say, that is a boon for us here at the Moon Underwater, because we're looking forward to chatting to him. So see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.